Gospel Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in 2 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 5. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
He says, in this tabernacle we do groan being burdened. And that's okay. Paul said, despair of life, sentence of death, it's okay. And in fact, we need to embrace it because it is that reality in us that sets us apart. Because the world is, as it were, celebrating their emptiness. They're celebrating the futility. They're celebrating that which really is going to not end well for them. That bothers me. It troubles me. I believe it. And therefore I sigh. And therefore I cry. Sometimes over people. You have fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and cousins and nephews and nieces. And if you just start there, it's enough to break your heart. And the world is very enticing. And it shapeshifts all the time, right? I mean, there's always something new to get your attention. Always something to distract from the reality. We are in a day of great deception. But he says, we know what's going on. Verse 5 says, now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. He wrought us. That means he created us. You know, the Bible says we are new creatures in Christ, new creations. I mean, be in Christ, this passage is going to say in verse 17. He's a new creation. He wrought us for immortality, this amazing prospect. What an amazing God we serve, who has put on the agenda that one day we are going to shine like the sun. Okay, it's going to be a good day. And the Bible says, now he who wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The word earnest is the pledge. You've heard earnest money. If you're going to buy a house, you put down some earnest money. If you don't go through, you lose the money, right? In the Greek, it has that kind of an idea. It's a pledge. And it's a kind of pledge like we're familiar with. It actually has a connection to an engagement. It means that if God doesn't go through with the agreement that he has set in motion, that he has to give up the pledge. Like you have to give up the earnest. It's the pledge, and God is not going to give up himself because we messed up or we stumbled. That's important for us to know because we do not follow Jesus and serve Jesus because he's got a whip that he's cracking behind us saying, you need to move, you need to get with the program, and I'm very disgusted with you. God is not ever disgusted with his children. I'm telling you, there are things that will break his heart for us. And when I say he's not disgusted, here's why. It's because he knows what we are. Now get this, folks. If you have a child that is a crippled child, you may be disgusted with the circumstances, but you're not disgusted with the child. You love the child. And we like to congratulate ourselves in some way of thinking, man, God's pretty lucky to get me. But no. Something's missing in that picture. Because really, the reality is, we who know the Lord Jesus have to come to terms with the fact that God has to put up with us. But the Bible says there's no condemnation. How can there be no condemnation? Because he knows this. And him knowing this means that he takes it into account when he saves us. And he's willing for all of this bump stuff going on. And Christians have to be careful if we compare ourselves with the world, because we are going to receive a strict judgment. And I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm talking about a strict judgment because we know what's going on where they're ignorant. They don't know. They're just walking. It's like the Bible talks about it being an abomination to set a stumbling block in front of a blind man. The blind guy's walking by. You don't stick your foot out and trip him. We know better than this. And yet the blind man may really aggravate us because he walks into our garage and starts knocking everything off of the shelf or into your kitchen. Starts breaking plates. And you might be aggravated. But if you see as God sees, you know they are blind and cannot see. And they are in need of what we were in need of, and that is compassion and pity. And you know what? God keeps pouring that out on you and me. His mercies are new every morning. Isn't that good to know? Now, I have to take us down there where we can touch the reality. You know, people get off of a plane sometimes when they've been out of the country. They get down, they touch the ground. They say, here it is. And we've been flying around all week, maybe months, maybe years. And we've thought, man, I've got this down. I know what's going on. But the reality of what's going on is God is working His plan out through the likes of you and me. And if we don't get it done, it ain't going to get done. It is in chapter 4 that he talks about the fact that the gospel is being hidden from people's faces. And it's our fault in one sense if we don't get that word out. But I digress. Verse 5 says, God gave us the earnest of His Spirit. Verse 6 says, therefore, we are always confident. We are always confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, the interesting thing about the two verses, the one I started with, the one I ended with, they both have the word confident in there. Confident. And the word confident doesn't mean just that you have something that you know really well. What it means is you have courage. Now, I got to ask you today, do you have courage? One of the reasons people don't witness is because they're afraid. But the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You see, we have the spirit of love, which means I begin to see those people in a way that makes me to understand them. You know, if you have somebody in your presence, and some of you are nurses, some of you have been in caregiving, and sometimes people have seizures. When a person has a seizure, you don't yell at them and be at, you get down and you try to serve. You try to move things out of the way and you try to help them so they don't hurt themselves. And what I'm saying is the world is filled with people who have no idea the damage they're doing to themselves and to those around them. And it's incumbent upon us to be what Jesus was, and that is meek and lowly. Not high and lifted up. Meek and lowly. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up, but that love edifies. It's trying to figure out a way. Greatest of these is love. We hear it all the time. By this they shall know your mind is not. Love. You see, the courage to love is what we're called to. He says, we have courage. And he says, we have courage knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Now, I find this to be an interesting word, the word for at home and absent. These two words are made up of a word that has at its center the idea of being a people who are abroad. Right here, He's made us for glory, but we're abroad right now. You know, when you're in a foreign country, you ought to represent your country well, right? Like years ago, probably 15 years ago in Singapore, I think a boy went there and he's vandalizing a car or something. They caned him in the streets, made international news. He was caned because he was foolish. And people, oh, that poor boy, that's foolish boy. He's in a foreign country. And what I'm saying is you and I are in a foreign country right now. The Bible talks about us as being pilgrims and sojourners. We have no continuing city down here. We seek a city whose builder and maker is God. And that is what's interesting about these words. The one has the idea of being an immigrant, and that is the idea of being absent. We live abroad. And the other word, at home, means to be among your own people, not to travel abroad. If you're God's child today, you are now not at home. You're not at home. And praise God for that, right? I mean, this isn't it. This is not where we're heading. This is where we're passing through. And it's going to give a little bit of a substance when he mentions the word ambassadors in a moment. This is in that chapter. We are ambassadors of Christ. But he says we have courage. And he says knowing. We know about the body. We know that we're not home. He says, and we are people who have a great courage in verse 8 and are even willing. We desire it to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When I was a boy in high school, right after I got my life squared away with the Lord, I'm in this class, and it was a speech class, And we were told to sit our chairs in a circle. And we're sitting around, and the teacher said, I want to go around the room, and I want everybody to tell us the thing you look forward to more than anything in the world. And people said, I look forward to getting married. People said, I look forward to going to college. I look forward to maybe pursuing some kind of a sports thing. So maybe I can get into, you know, go perfect. I look forward. They got to me, I said, I look forward to dying. And what was really funny as I looked back on it is that there was this girl sitting next to me, and she was a Jehovah's Witness. And if you know anything about them, they believe you're annihilated when it's over. If you don't make it to the coming, as it were, they 144,000, you're going to be annihilated. It's over. I'm like, no, man, this is great. I can't wait. Because at that time, I was dying to myself by coming clean from the world and becoming a gazing stock to my friends. And it hurt. And I didn't feel comfortable down here. But she asked, what are you looking for? I'm looking forward to dying. And I don't mean I want to get dead. I'm just talking about what an awesome thing to be swallowed up with immortality. To be freed from myself and my sin. To be able to be in His presence and listen, stand up with squared shoulders. And not feel like, man, God, I hope you can hear me today. But knowing that He loves me, longs to be in complete fellowship with me. How cool is that going to be? The Bible says it's because of this in verse 9. It's because of this courage that we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now, this word for labor is very interesting. You might circle it and put in your margin what it means. It means that we love the honor. We love the honor. And the labor concept is there because what he's saying is we love this honor to be in a foreign country. It's suggested by the verse before, but the word is philos. We get the word Philadelphia, brotherly love. Phila is love. Brother is Delphos, Philadelphia. Phila, and it has the secondary term, Timae. We get Timothy's name. It means to be honored, to honor somebody. It means to love the honor. We love the honor. Now, courage says, I love the honor to represent Him right now. I love the honor to be in this mess down here because He saved me and He wants to save them. And we are courageous because we know. Now listen, the way you get to know these things is not by having a dream. It's not by having a feeling. It's not by hoping that all the things you heard the preacher say are true. It's by reading the Word of the living God. God represents for us everything we need to know in His pages of His Word. Everything that we need to know so that we can have courage. If I have no courage, it's probably because I'm not quite sure what I'm entering into. If you're out there in the winter, and I hate even talking about winter because I'm tired of the cold. But what I want to say to you is if you have a pond that is frozen over. You're like maybe when you were younger, you can remember those days when you wanted to go out. And many of us in this room remember you went outside to play. You know, that's what we used to do. And I know, weird, right? And when the pond was frozen over, you might even say, man, can we get some skates? Anybody got any skates? And you want to go out and do. But the fact is that maybe you remember going out and falling through, one foot going through. Hopefully nothing more serious. And maybe having to walk back home with your foot frozen because you went down. What I'm saying is you were overconfident for all the wrong reasons, but you don't have to be that with God because He's given you Genesis to Revelation. We not only know how it began, we know how it's going to end. We not only know that there is a Savior, we know who He is. And we know where He is. And we know what He's doing.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.